Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to this edition of College Football Playoff Focus. On the program, we have an interview with Stephen Simcox. Stephen is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast. The podcast covers content related to TCU football. On the program, we discuss the TCU game against Michigan. Also, we talk about Max Duggan, head coach Sonny Dykes. We preview the national championship game against Georgia and so much more. Stephen is coming up on this edition of the program. But of course, before we give you the scores of the 2022-2023 NCAA College Bowl schedule, we want to send our thoughts and prayers to Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin. Of course, the whole sports world and the whole world has been in deep thought and deep prayer for this young man who was hurt, suffered a traumatic event. He went into cardiac arrest after making a tackle on Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins this past Monday night in the Monday Night Football game against the Cincinnati Bengals. The good news is that as the week progressed, Hamlin improved tremendously, having his breathing tube removed, also communicating verbally, and his lungs are improving. So everything is on the up and up, and everything continues to be on going forward for DeMar as he continues his long road to recovery. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with DeMar Hamlin, as well as his family and friends and everyone associated with him as they continue to be with him, and the whole world continues to be with him on this road to recovery. And also, our thoughts and prayers are with Peyton Hillis. Peyton is recovering in a hospital. He's in critical condition after saving his children from drowning. Family members said that Peyton is still in critical condition. However, his kidney and lungs are improving tremendously. So there's still the long road to recovery for Peyton. So our thoughts and prayers are with DeMar Hamlin and Peyton Hillis, and our thoughts and prayers also with his family, friends, and everyone that's associated with them during this time on their road to recovery. All right, so with that being said, what a 2022-2023 College Bowl season this has been. And we want to give you the scores, and just in case you may have missed some of the games or had a chance to check out the games, here's as it stands. Let's start off with December the 16th. The Bahamas Bowl was between UAB and Miami. UAB represents Conference USA. Miami of Ohio represents the MAC Conference. UAB would win 24-20 in the Bahamas Bowl. The Cure Bowl was between number 24th ranked Troy and number 25 ranked UTSA. That's Texas San Antonio. Troy represents the Sun Belt. UTSA represents Conference USA. Troy would beat UTSA in the Cure Bowl. We move along now. Those were the games from December the 16th. Now let's move along now to December the 17th. The Fenway Bowl was at Fenway Park in Boston, Massachusetts. Louisville, representing the ACC, squared off against Cincinnati. Representing the American Athletic Conference, Louisville would go on to win 24-7. The Las Vegas Bowl took place at Allegiant Stadium just outside of Las Vegas, which is home to the NFL's Las Vegas Raiders. The Las Vegas Bowl was number 14 Oregon State going up against the University of Florida. Oregon State representing the Pac-12, Florida representing the SEC. Oregon State would beat Florida 30-3. In the L.A. Bowl at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, it was Fresno State representing the Mountain West going up against Washington State representing the Pac-12. Fresno State would win 29-6. We had the Lending Tree Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. In the Lending Tree Bowl, it was Southern Mississippi from representing the Sun Belt and Rice University representing the Conference USA. Southern Miss would win 38-24. Then next we had the New Mexico Bowl between BYU and SMU, Southern Methodist University. BYU, an independent school, going up against SMU, representing the American Athletic Conference. In a close game, BYU would win 24-23. We had the Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas, between Boise State and North Texas. Boise State representing the Mountain West Conference, and North Texas representing Conference USA. Boise State would beat North Texas 35-32. In the Myrtle Beach Bowl, this was from December the 19th. In the Myrtle Beach Bowl in Conway, South Carolina, we had Marshall versus UConn. Marshall represents the Sun Belt. UConn is an independent. Marshall would go on to win 28-14. Also, another important bowl game to pass along, the Celebration Bowl, which was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Deion Sanders in his final game as the head coach of the Jackson State Tigers. It was a close game, and it would go into overtime as Jackson State represented the SWAC, going up against North Carolina Central representing the MEAC. In overtime, North Carolina Central would win 41-34. Then we had games from December the 20th in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Eastern Michigan representing the MAC Conference going up against San Jose State, representing the Mountain West Conference. Eastern Michigan would beat San Jose State 41-27. In the Boca Raton Bowl, Toledo representing the MAC going up against independent school Liberty. Toledo would win 21-19. On December the 21st, at the New Orleans Bowl at the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, Western Kentucky USA went up against South Alabama in the Sun Belt. Western Kentucky would win 44-23. In the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas, between Air Force representing the Mountain West going up against Baylor representing the Big 12. Air Force would win 30-15. The games from December the 23rd, the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana, University of Houston representing the American Athletic Conference going up against Louisiana representing the Sun Belt Conference. Very close game, but the Houston Cougars would win 23-16. In the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, Florida, Wake Forest representing the ACC going up against Missouri representing the SEC. Wake Forest would beat Missouri 27-17. On Christmas Eve, we have the Hawaii Bowl in Honolulu, Hawaii, between Middle Tennessee representing Conference USA and San Diego State representing the Mountain West. Middle Tennessee would win 25-23. On December the 26th, we had the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit, Michigan. New Mexico State, an independent school, going up against Bowling Green, playing in the MAC Conference. And New Mexico State would beat Bowling Green in a close one, 24-19. Let's move along now to action from December the 27th, the Camellia Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. Buffalo representing the MAC. The MAC, which stands for the Mid-American Conference, going up against Georgia Southern, representing the Sun Belt. Close game, Buffalo would beat Georgia Southern 23-21. In the First Responder Bowl in University Park, Texas, we had Memphis going up against Utah State. Memphis represents the American Athletic Conference. Utah State represents the Mountain West. Memphis would win 30. In the Birmingham Bowl between East Carolina and Coastal Carolina, East Carolina represents the American Athletic Conference. Coastal Carolina represents the Sun Belt. East Carolina would beat Coastal Carolina 53-29. in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona. Wisconsin, representing the Big Ten, going up against Oklahoma State in the Big 12. Close game, but Wisconsin would win 24-17. We move along now to action from December the 28th in the Military Bowl in Annapolis, Maryland. Duke, representing the ACC, going up against UCF, the University of Central Florida, representing the American Athletic Conference. Duke would win 30-13. In the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, we had Arkansas representing the SEC going up against Kansas representing the Big 12. The game was phenomenal. It went into triple overtime. Arkansas would win 55-53. The Holiday Bowl was an exciting matchup in San Diego, California, between 15th-ranked Oregon representing the Pac-12 and North Carolina representing the ACC. In a very thrilling game, Oregon would win 28-27. And in the Texas Bowl in Houston, Texas, Texas Tech representing the Big 12 going up against Ole Miss representing the SEC. Texas Tech would win 42-25. We move along now to action from December the 29th, the Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx in New York City at Yankee Stadium. Minnesota representing the Big 10 going up against Syracuse in the ACC. Very close game, but Minnesota would hold on to win 28-20. In the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando, Florida, 13th-ranked Florida State squared off against the University of Oklahoma. Florida State representing the ACC, Oklahoma representing the Big 12. In a very, very tight game, Florida State would beat Oklahoma 35-32. The Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, Texas, 12th-ranked Washington representing the Pac-12 going up against 20th-ranked Texas representing the Big 12. Again, a thrilling game between the Huskies and the Longhorns, but Washington would hold on to win 27-20. We move along now to action from December the 30th, the Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina. University of Maryland representing the Big 10 going up against 23rd-ranked North Carolina State representing the ACC. This was a very close game, but Maryland would hold on to win 16-12. In the Sun Bowl in El Paso, Texas, a thrilling game between the University of Pittsburgh representing the ACC going up against 18th-ranked UCLA representing the Pac-12. Thrilling game from start to finish, but Pittsburgh would hold on to win 37-35. We had the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida, between 21st-ranked Notre Dame, which is representing an independent school, going up against 19th-ranked South Carolina, representing the SEC. Great game from start to finish, but the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame would hold on to win 45-38. And in the Arizona Bowl in Tucson, Arizona, the University of Ohio representing the MAC, the Mid-American Conference, going up against the University of Wyoming, representing the Mountain West Conference. This game was a thriller. It went to overtime, and Ohio would beat Wyoming 30-27. We had action on New Year's Eve in the Music City Bowl in Nashville, Tennessee. The University of Iowa, representing the Big Ten, went up against the University of Kentucky, representing the SEC. It was all Iowa. The Hawkeyes would beat the Kentucky Wildcats 21-0. January the 2nd, we had the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa, Florida, between 22nd-ranked Mississippi State representing the SEC, and we had the University of Illinois representing the Big Ten. Another close game, but Mississippi State would go on to beat Illinois. Final score. And also on that same day, the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida, between 17th-ranked LSU and the Purdue University, Purdue representing the Big Ten, LSU representing the SEC. It was all Bayou Bengals. LSU would win 63-7. And, of course, you know, we had the college football playoff semifinals, right? December the 30th, the Orange Bowl in Miami, 6th-ranked Tennessee went up against 7th-ranked Clemson. Tennessee representing the SEC, Clemson representing the ACC. Tennessee would win 31-14. New Year's Eve, the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. Fifth-ranked Alabama representing the SEC going up against ninth-ranked Kansas State representing the Big 12. It was all Crimson Tide. Alabama would win 45-20. Then we had, on that same day, on New Year's Eve, we had the two college football playoff semifinals games. First, the bowl in Glendale, Arizona, right outside of Phoenix. Third-ranked TCU representing the Big 12 going up against second-ranked Michigan representing the Big Ten. What a thrilling game this was, but TCU would hold on to win 51-45. And then we had the nightcap with the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia. Number one-ranked Georgia going up against number four-ranked Ohio State. What a thriller this was between these two schools. Georgia representing the SEC, Ohio State representing the Big Ten. Georgia would win 42-41. Also on January the 2nd, we had the Cotton Bowl in Arlington, Texas, just outside of Dallas. 16th-ranked Tulane going up against 10th-ranked USC. Tulane representing the American Athletic Conference and USC representing the Pac-12. This game was thrilling from start to finish, but kudos to head coach Willie Fritz and the Tulane Green Wave on the revival of that program down in New Orleans, as Tulane would go on to beat USC 46-45. And later that evening, the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. 11th-ranked Penn State representing the Big Ten going up against number 8 Utah representing the Pac-12. Penn State would go on to beat Utah. Final score, 35-21. And those are your scores from the 2022-2023 NCAA football bowl games. I got to tell you, speaking of bowl games, what a thriller it was at the Fiesta Bowl between third-ranked TCU and second-ranked Michigan. TCU would win 51-45. And speaking of TCU, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Stephen Simcox. He is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast. The podcast covers content related to TCU football. We discussed the TCU game against Michigan. We also discussed quarterback Max Duggan, head coach Sonny Dykes. We preview the national championship game against Georgia. Also, what makes Fort Worth, Texas, a unique college football town, and so much more. Steven is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to College Football Playoff Focus.
Need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Hello, I'm Tom Standage, host of The World Ahead, the podcast from The Economist that explores the future. Over 8 weekly episodes, starting on November the 28th, I'll be talking to economist journalists and special guests to get expert insights into the year ahead. We'll explore critical themes from soaring inflation and the impact of the war in Ukraine to chaos in the energy markets and China's uncertain post-pandemic path. Topics include, has China peaked? What does the war in Ukraine mean for the fight against climate change? How will economies cope with looming recession? Will passwords be replaced by pass keys? And just how exactly do forecasters predict the future? Join us to sharpen your foresight with The World Ahead from The Economist. Start listening on your podcast app.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Philly special, their version of it. Loveland broke a tackle, but he's in trouble. Colston Loveland, stop back at the 9-yard line. J.J. McCarthy. Whoa. Throws, and it's intercepted. Picked off and being brought back for a touchdown by Bud Clark. Quentin Johnson, the motion man. Here's Duggan. Touchdown, TCU. D. Mercado, the running back. He stays in to pick up a blitz. Duggan got hit. Still got it off. Kay Barber. Touchdown, Horns Frogs. D. Mercado. Touchdown, TCU. McCarthy incomplete and picked off. Intercepted by D. Winters. And a touchdown. And now Duggan. They try to help him in. Touchdown! Huge third down and 7 here. Michigan blitzes. Duggan dumps it off short. Quentin Johnson has the first down and off he goes! They are not going to catch him! No flags! The magic continues for TCU!
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NCAA. ESPN, the Walt Disney Company, and man, what a game it was between TCU and Michigan at this year's Fiesta Bowl as a part of the college football playoff semifinal, and what a season it's been for the Horned Frogs, the school out of Fort Worth, Texas, just outside of Dallas. To talk more about the Fiesta Bowl, to recap the game, and to look ahead to the national championship game against the Georgia Bulldogs, we want to welcome him to the program. He is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast, giving you all of the information you need to know about the TCU Horned Frogs. Let's welcome him to the program, Stephen Simcox. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the program, my man.
Ed, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Stephen, I have to ask you this. What were your takeaways from TCU's victory over Michigan in the Fiesta Bowl?
Well, it was a wild game. It was pretty crazy to see those teams go back and forth in the second half. I was impressed with the TCU defense, which is kind of strange to say considering they gave up 45 points. But, you know, so much of the talk in the month leading up to the game was just about the fact a lot of people believed Michigan would be able to kind of bully them with their offensive line and run the ball whenever they wanted to. And honestly, I thought TCU held up pretty good against Donovan Edwards in that dynamic rushing attack. J.J. McCarthy was able to throw the ball down the field and they made some plays through the air, but they had some opportunistic turnovers, had a couple interceptions that they returned for touchdowns, which are huge. Offense just kept battling back and staying in there even when the game got close. They that made all the plays they had to. And yeah, I mean, for a team that had never been on a stage like that, I think it was really impressive the way they hung in there and made plays, even when Michigan started to chip away that lead and it looked like maybe the momentum was swinging their way. You know, they never trailed in that game, got off to a nice start, kind of forced the Wolverines out of their game plan a little bit, and ended up getting the victory. So now they're here in the national championship game, which is a place nobody really thought they would be. So it's exciting for the TCU faithful, the big-time opportunity for this program. But the Fiesta Bowl was an outstanding game and a big-time win for Sonny Dykes and his team.
Absolutely. We're going to get more into the surprise season that the Horned Frogs have experienced in just a moment. But I want to get more into TCU's Fiesta Bowl win over Michigan. I want to start off with the running back for the Horned Frogs, and that's Imari DeMarcado. What a game he had. What a season he's had for TCU. In this game, he had 17 carries for 150 yards and one rushing touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Imari and his play against Michigan.
He was fantastic, and I mean, as you said, he's been really good this year, but it's been in relief of Kendre Miller. They'll trade series occasionally. He'll come in on third down, and he's been a really solid backup. But Amari's a cool story. I mean, he's one of those guys that's taking advantage of the extra eligibility that's been given to student-athletes because of the pandemic. And so he's been around for a while. He transferred in from a junior college 4 years ago, and this is his last season to play, but he's essentially a six-year senior, came back for one more season to, you know, be a part of this new coaching staff and this team with the new coaching staff, and is taking advantage of it. But he stepped up in a big way, had that huge run to set up a touchdown, and they certainly miss Kendre Miller in the backfield. I think, you know, he brings a physicality with the style and the way he runs that DeMarcado doesn't necessarily always bring to the table, but you can't really ask for much more than what Amari did. He also did a pretty good job at times picking up blitzes and making sure Max Duggan had time to make throws. So if he has to kind of shoulder the heavy part of the rushing load on Monday, then I think he'll be fine doing that. And, you know, it certainly helps to have depth. It's a chance for him to go back home. He's from Inglewood, California, and apparently his childhood home is only a few blocks from SoFi Stadium where they'll be playing. So really cool moment for him. And yeah, just a guy that was a great teammate and did his job all year and then got a chance to, you know, in the biggest game of the season to step up and do more. And he came through in a huge way for the team.
Awesome. And someone that has been coming through for his team all season long is Quentin Johnston. In his game against Michigan, he had six catches for 163 yards and a touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Quentin's play against Michigan.
Well, he just makes the most of his targets. You know, he only had six catches, but as you said, ends up with over 150 yards, has a huge touchdown that you heard kind of on the open there in the highlight package, third and seven, where he takes a little screen pass and shakes the defender and takes it to the house. He's a special player. I mean, he's big. He's 6'4". He's over 200 pounds, but he moves really well for a player his size. You know, he's not – He can go up and get 50-50 balls, and they like to use him that way, but he's also somebody you can dump the ball off to and allow him to get yards after the catch and make plays in space. And he was finally healthy, too. I think that was a big part of it. He was dealing with an ankle injury for a lot of the second half of the season, and I think he was healthy enough to play, and he would kind of get through the snaps that he could and do what he could for the team. But you saw some more burst. You saw some more endurance in that game against Michigan. I think he felt as good as he has all year and, you know, came through in a big way. But, yeah, I mean, he's not typically somebody who's going to get like 10, 12 catches in a game, but most of his targets are down the field, and he makes two or three big plays a game usually. I think he's going to have hopefully a really good NFL career moving forward and has a chance to kind of end his college career with a huge victory. But he's fantastic, and when teams have tried to cover him one-on-one this year, it really hasn't gone well for them. So I'm curious to see what Georgia does in this national title game to slow him down.
All right. Well, you mentioned earlier about TCU's defense being the best in terms of in this game, in terms of allowing 45 points on Michigan's offense, but they made plays happen in major ways. Two gentlemen I want to bring up had an interception return touchdown to go along with seven tackles, but Clark also had an interception return for a touchdown to go along with four tackles. Give me your thoughts on D and Bud's play in this game.
They both kind of really epitomize what this defense does well, which is have athletes that, make plays and are really sure tacklers. Bud, that was a fantastic read he made early in the game. He saw that it was an out route coming and just broke on the ball and got it and took it to the house. D. Winters had probably the best game of his career. I mean, you ran on the stat line there, but he was all over the place. And, D's the guy that the linebacking core for TCU has been really good. The player that had gotten a lot of attention is Johnny Hodges, who's kind of their guy in the middle, and he's a transfer. Came over from the Naval Academy in the offseason. But D. Winters showed up in a huge way in that semifinal game, and that pick six was – both of them were much needed because Michigan came back and made that a ball game, had a chance to win at the end. They just kind of made the most of their opportunity, read the quarterback well, and stepped up in a big way. And they needed those turnovers. They needed to get points off turnovers. They were able to do that against Michigan, and those guys led the way in that regard.
All right, and then someone else I want to talk about in this game, and that's Nook Bradford. Nook had seven tackles in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Nook and his play.
He's been really solid for them this year. He dealt with an injury earlier in the season, and I think once he got back and healthy, the defense played a lot better. And he did have some, great tackles in that game. I remember on third down, he was able to get Ronnie Bell down and keep them from moving the chains there. He's the guy that can come up and run support. I think that safety group was a little disappointed with how, some of the tight ends and receivers were able to get past him in coverage off some of the play action concepts that Michigan was running. I'm sure they'll try to shore that up, but he was also a great player for them. And the secondary has been good for TCU all year long. The safeties have gotten significantly better since Bud Clark and Nick Bradford came back and got healthy. And so they both stepped up in a huge way against the Wolverines, which was a big deal in that football game.
All right. And Dylan Horton had one heck of a game. He had four sacks in this game against Michigan. Give me your thoughts on Dylan's play.
Dylan's another one of those crazy stories. So he was a smaller guy coming out of high school. Actually ended up going to the University of New Mexico, and he was planning on playing safety there. And then they kind of put some weight on him and moved him to an outside linebacker. He ends up transferring to TCU and becomes a defensive end. But just a fantastic day against, the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line for Michigan, supposed to be the best in the nation. And TCU, a lot of times they're only rushing three. That's what they typically do. They rely on those three down linemen to get pressure just by themselves. And Dylan Horton has become their main pass rusher. He almost had a strip sack on J.J. McCarthy before the half. Unfortunately, ball went out of bounds. But he was in the backfield all night long. Even on that last drive, I remember on first down, he flushed McCarthy out of the pocket, chased him towards the sidelines, and kind of blew up that play from the beginning. So if he can do that and they can get pressure with their front three, then that gives them a huge advantage in this game. But, yeah, he's been an incredible story, and he's had a great turnaround since last year where he was more of a depth player and somebody that would kind of rotate in and out. He's their full-time starter now, and he's the best pass rusher on this football team.
All right, and we've got to talk about the man who has had one heck of a year, Max Duggan. In his game, he completed 14 out of 29 passes for 225 yards, passes, and two interceptions. Give me your thoughts on Max's play against the Wolverines.
Well, I thought his best plays in the game were those touchdowns to Taya Barber and Quentin Johnson. They were on a similar play, both guys kind of running crossing patterns behind the line of scrimmage, and he just sort of dumped it off to him. But in both plays, he was having to get away from the rush. And so, he was kind of off balance. He was throwing off his back foot. He was able to deliver accurate throws to those players, and they ended up making a play after the catch. But Max has been their steady guy all year long. He's got all the intangibles. He's tough. He's a great leader. You know, he plays really hard. He doesn't quit. He's one of those players that the team just rallies around. And they also used him a little bit more in the design run game, which was interesting because they haven't done that a lot this year. But Max can escape the pocket with his legs and get first downs. You know, he'll go on a quarterback draw or quarterback power play and churn out some yardage. Not the best completion percentage, but the throws that he made were big-time throws. I thought he had a good pocket presence. I felt like he was in control. Ended up throwing a couple interceptions. You know, one of them was his fault. I think the other one was a drop by Darius Davis, one of their wide receivers. But he's the man that makes us go. I mean, if TCU wins at all, it's going to be because Max Duggan played an outstanding game. He's just been stepping up for them all year long and making plays and being the great leader he is.
You know, let's stay with Max for a moment, Steve. In 2022 has been a season for the ages for Max, the winner of the Davey O'Brien Award, the winner of the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award, and also a winner of the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, as well as being a second-team All-American, first-team All-Big 12. Through some changes during his time at TCU, especially being having medical issues and fighting for a starting job, but this was the year that everything came together with the awards that I mentioned and being a Heisman candidate. Did you expect him to have this type of season that he did in 2022?
No, I definitely didn't. Honestly, just kind of a peek behind the curtain at, I mean, in the offseason, most TCU fans were sort of ready for the team to move on from Max. Most people predicted that Chandler Morris, their backup quarterback now, would win the job, and he did out of camp. You know, he started that first game against Colorado, ends up getting hurt early in the second half, and then Max came in and just kind of took the reins and did not look back. But it has been an incredible season. I really can't think of anybody else that I've come across in college football. I mean, you see quarterbacks improve over time. You see guys that will have a down season or have a bad year, and then all of a sudden they put it together and they make up for it. But really for the first three seasons of his career at TCU, I mean, I think Max did some good things. He showed some flashes of what a great quarterback he could be, but it was really inconsistent. The team was struggling. You know, they went 5-7 last year, and he was a starter in a lot of those games. So there wasn't a huge expectation for him to come be the starting quarterback and have a great season. I think Garrett Riley and Sonny Dykes, people expected him to, or those guys, to improve the offense, but most people didn't think Max Duggan was going to be a part of that. And so a credit to him for taking advantage of his opportunity, and I'm just really happy for him as a player, as a person, because he's been great. He's been a great ambassador for TCU. He's handled the thing as well as you can, and you know, it's paid off for him in a huge way. You usually don't see it turn around like this late in your career, but Max has had, you know, as great of a season as you could really imagine and hope for as a senior there at TCU.
I want to stay again with Max for a moment. You mentioned about him being a great ambassador for TCU. What was your reaction like when you found out that he was nominated for this year's Heisman? And even though he didn't win it, he still had a fantastic year, that he was alongside the likes of Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud, and Stetson Bennett.
I was thrilled for him. And, I mean, he ends up finishing second, which is just outstanding. I honestly think if they could have found a way to win that conference title game against K-State, maybe that vote's a little bit closer. But I feel like he just impressed a lot of people around the nation with his resilience and the way he, you know, fought back all year long and didn't give up after losing his starting job, came back, won it, and just sort of ran with it after that. But, yeah, I was really happy for Max. I'm happy for a lot of these guys. I mean, this group of seniors is a group that hadn't seen a lot of winning up to this point, and a bunch of them came back because they bought into what Sonny Dykes and his coaching staff were trying to sell to them, and it certainly paid off in a massive way for them this year. But, yeah, Max is, I mean, he's a great player, seems like a really good young man with, you know, his head on his shoulders, and so it was awesome to see him get the recognition that he deserved for an outstanding season.
Another question I want to ask about Max: what is his status for his future at TCU? Will he return for a fifth year, or will he enter the NFL draft?
No, he's already announced he's going to go ahead and try the draft process, and I expect him to stick with that and see what happens. You know, he got his degree in December. As you said, he does have that extra year of eligibility, but he's gonna see what the NFL says and try to move forward with a professional career after the game.
Fair enough. And I want to move along now to someone that had a year for the ages, and that's head coach for the TCU Horned Frogs, and that's Sonny Dykes. Give me your thoughts on Coach Dykes' performance in the Fiesta Bowl against Michigan.
Well, he had the team ready to play. I mean, I think they came out with a ton of energy. They seemed like the team that was more ready for that football game, and Michigan kind of had to scramble to match their intensity. You know, Sonny's done a really good job all year. I didn't really have any – there weren't many questionable decisions to me. I think the clock management, the timeout management was unfortunate at times. They ended up with, like, no timeouts about midway through the fourth quarter because of some missteps, but they weren't trailing the game, so it didn't end up being as big of a deal as it could have been. Some of that has to get cleaned up. But overall, I thought Sonny managed things really well. I don't feel like he had a ton of super tough in-game decisions because they were kind of in control of that game, at least in the first half. But, yeah, I think he's done an outstanding job for a coach that's never experienced a college football playoff appearance or a national title appearance. He seems like he knows what he's doing. He seems confident about their plan, and they've executed it really well.
I want to stay with Coach Dykes for a moment. His last stop before coming to TCU was actually down the road in Dallas when he was the head coach at SMU, Southern Methodist. What's been the recruiting like for him? Has the recruiting process been easy going from SMU to TCU, or has it kind of been a difficult process? What's it been the recruiting like for him?
It's gone well. They're doing really well in the transfer portal right now. They landed Trey Sanders yesterday, running back from Alabama. Also got JoJo Earl, a wide receiver from Alabama, coming over, and a few more players who were really highly rated out of high school. From the high school ranks, they signed 23 guys during early signing day. I think 247 has them ranked 18th in the country right now. So they have a pretty clear vision and plan for what they're trying to do. They're trying to recruit their backyard really well. 19 of the 23 players they signed are from the state of Texas. A lot of those are from the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So it's similar to what he was doing at SMU, trying to kind of just build a fence around the Dallas-Fort Worth area and selling these young men on, hey, you can stay home, you can come here, you can play in big games, play for championships. And obviously they probably believe him right now because they are going to play for a championship. But he's put together a really good staff. Aaron Hodges came over from Louisville. He's like their player development coordinator. He's done a really nice job. Actually, just Brian Carrington just went to Arizona State, but he was also big on the recruiting front for TCU this year and helped get a lot of those guys committed that end up signing in December. They have a bunch of young position coaches who seem to connect really well with the kids. And, I think they understand the landscape of college football right now. So it's going well. I think it's always easier to recruit when there's a lot of momentum around your program and your team's playing well. But they've certainly tried to capitalize on that as much as they can.
All right, and then that takes care of TCU's performance, beating the Michigan Wolverines in the Fiesta Bowl 51-45. All right, Stephen, so now here we are with the national championship game at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, just outside of Los Angeles, as the Texas Christian University TCU Horned Frogs go up against the Georgia Bulldogs. I want to start off with TCU's defense for a moment. Stetson Bennett, we know about his story. You thought Max's story was incredible. Stetson's story is just as incredible as well. What do you think is going to be the keys to victory for TCU's defense to stop Stetson Bennett and Georgia's offense?
Right. I mean, Stetson's fantastic. He's played a lot of football. I don't think he's going to be confused by much. You know, if they can find a way to create some turnovers, that would be massive. They were able to do that in the Michigan game. I know Stetson did make some mistakes early in that Ohio State game, and I'm sure he's trying to work on not doing that in the national title game. But, you know, TCU runs a 3-3-5. They've got five kind of corners and safeties in the back end that they move around a lot of different places. The whole point of the defense is that you can be flexible and you can sort of adjust to whatever Georgia's going to do. So I think they're going to try to confuse them with that alignment.
I feel like the biggest issue is going to be, can they cover these tight ends? You know, Brock Bowers has had an outstanding year. My biggest concern is if Georgia loads up with those two tight ends, they run the ball, and then they, off that, they kind of use some play action to go after these safeties and linebackers in coverage. I'm not sure how TCU approaches trying to stop that, but the TCU defense this year, they haven't been like a shutdown unit that holds people to 10 points a game, but they seem to have a knack for getting stops when they have to. They've been able to force turnovers. And so I think the key is just trying to hang in the game. Can you force a few turnovers? Can you, you know, when Georgia gets down near the end zone, can you make them kick a field goal instead of getting a touchdown? Those are the things that are going to be huge keys for this defense and trying to just, you know, stay in the game and give their offense a chance to go win it.
All right, let's move along now to the other side of the ball. We talked about Max Duggan. We talked about Quentin Johnston, also Imari DiMarcado. We know that Georgia's defense is very opportunistic, and they've handled their business all season long. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for TCU's offense to get points against Georgia's defense?
Well, Ohio State kind of had an interesting approach. I mean, they didn't even really try to run the ball very much. They were dropping back with C.J. Stroud and throwing it all over the place. I think TCU will try to establish the run more than Ohio State did, but it does seem like the last 2 weeks, I mean, if you can execute well, there is an opportunity to throw the ball in this Georgia defense a little bit. That Keely Ringo versus Quentin Johnston one-on-one matchup is going to be huge. And then can these other wide receivers for TCU, like Darius Davis and Tay Barber, maybe their tight end Jared Wiley, can they find a way to get open and make plays? There's going to be so much attention, I think, on Quentin Johnston. It'll be up to other players to step up and move the chains and keep that offense on the field. But I think they'll probably use Max Duggan in the running game as well to try to just have an extra person that Georgia has to account for. I imagine they're going to throw a lot of different formations at them, try to get, you know, their eyes looking in different places. And this TCU offense, they want to go deep. They want to try to get explosive play. So there's going to be a lot of deep shots, and their philosophy just kind of is if we can hit a couple of those and get near the end zone or score on them, then it pays off. So I don't think that'll change when they take on Georgia.
There you have it. It is the national championship game at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, between the Texas Christian University Horned Frogs, the TCU Horned Frogs, going up against the Georgia Bulldogs. Should be a very festive time just outside of L.A. And again, you know, Steven, I have some more questions that I want to ask you. And, I, you know, when I think of Texas, specifically the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, well, just Texas as a whole is a state that loves its football. And also you have other teams, well, of course, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, we have the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL. There's the NBA with the Dallas Mavericks. You also have the Texas Rangers that play in the Metroplex in Arlington. You've got the NHL's Dallas Stars. And it's just a lot happening. Of course, the WNBA's Dallas Wings. But college football, we know that SMU had a nice run in the 80s, and they kind of fizzled out for a while, but they're enjoying their revival again. But TCU, what a season that they had this year. So I wanted to ask you, what makes Fort Worth, Texas, a unique college football town, in your opinion?
It's a good question. I mean, you're right, Ed. It is kind of a pro sports area. The Cowboys sort of dominate the conversation no matter what time of year it is. But Fort Worth is a cool city. It's pretty different from Dallas. I mean, it is like 45 minutes west in a lot of ways. And I think it's got a little more of a small-town vibe. They call it Cowtown because back in the day it was, you know, more of an agricultural community. There were a lot of people that would – you know, go on cattle runs and cattle trails through Fort Worth as they would go more towards West Texas. So it's a unique place. I think there's a little bit of everything for everybody. It's a diverse city. And when TCU is winning, the city really gets behind the school. And I think that's been magnified this year with all the success they've had. You're seeing a lot of purple around town. And it's got a little bit more of a small town feel than the Dallas area does. So Fort Worth is a great place to be. There's plenty to do. You don't necessarily feel overwhelmed all the time trying to navigate the city. And, yeah, it's definitely a city that loves TCU football.
I want to stay just with Fort Worth for a moment. You mentioned about the city of Dallas, but there may be some people that may have yet to travel to Fort Worth. What are some of the things that you recommend that they'll check out, that they should check out in the city of Fort Worth?
So the Stockyards are downtown. It's a great area. You know, there's, depending on what time of year you're there, there's a great rodeo downtown in the Stockyards. There's plenty of, you know, bars and restaurants to hit up. There's great barbecue in Fort Worth. So, you know, Heim Barbecue is my favorite place personally, but there's plenty of, you know, little places you can look up and get a good bite to eat. It's a great city with a lot to do. The Fort Worth Zoo is outstanding. It's one of the, you know, places that I frequently take my kids when we go up there. But, yeah, Fort Worth 7th Street is a really cool part of town. There's a lot of shops and nice restaurants out that way. It's a great place to, you know, bring your family, or if you just want to kind of hang out with your significant other, there's a lot to do in the Metroplex area and in the city itself.
Awesome. And you mentioned some of the things about what makes Fort Worth, Texas, a unique college football town. And let's stay just with Fort Worth and TCU. You know, whenever you get an opportunity to go to TCU games, what type of food can you find at a tailgate? Or if you don't eat any food at a TCU tailgate, or some, what are some of the foods that you enjoy, whether it be at a TCU game, whether you're in an attendance or even if you're at home watching the game?
Right. So, yeah, I talked about the barbecue earlier, so that's definitely a big one. You know, get some ribs, get some brisket if you're going to be at the tailgate. For those 11 a.m. games, which are kind of earlier in the morning, breakfast tacos are a great option. So, you know, find a place with a breakfast taco with corn tortillas. That's the way to go for sure. And, yeah, a little bit of everything. But my favorite, like, in-stadium food, Ed, is probably funnel cake. Like, I know it's not a main course, that's a dessert, but that's probably what I'm grabbing at the concession stand. Love going to a game in Fort Worth, and there's, you know, the stadium's right on campus, and so if you walk around the parking lots, you can find plenty of different foods, just about anything you'd want, because there's a lot of people out there tailgating and watching games, getting ready for the Frogs to take the field.
I want to stay just with the funnel cake for a moment. I know that in French culture, well, New Orleans, a city that is very influenced by French culture, has the beignet. If you go to cities that have an Italian-rich culture, the New York, New Jersey area, even Philadelphia, they have the zeppoli. But funnel cakes are something that are served at a lot of fairs, especially Texas is known for having funnel cakes. Can you explain to the listeners what a funnel cake is and what's it topped with?
Yeah, so it's topped with powdered sugar. I mean, basically just fried dough, but it's really good. It's kind of in a, this might not be the best description, it's sort of in a pretzel shape, and it's you just sort of tear it off and you eat it. It's great to share with somebody. It is kind of messy, so that's an unfortunate thing. You need some napkins because the powdered sugar gets stuck to your fingers, and then it can be a whole mess. But, yeah, beignets are outstanding. I would prefer that to a funnel cake, but unfortunately don't sell that at the concession stands there in Fort Worth. So I usually go with the funnel cake, and I'm typically pretty happy with that decision. Some people put, like, some fruit on top of it at times, and that can be good too, but usually it's just the powdered sugar on top, and you just roll with that. You can also get it at the state fair, which is always a big deal in the state of Texas. You know, that's in Dallas over by the Cotton Bowl, but there's a lot of different fried options there.
All right. And then, you know, we talk about the big thing about college football is stadiums. Yeah, Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, Bryant Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa. There's the Coliseum in Los Angeles where USC plays, the Rose Bowl in UCLA. You've got the Big House in Michigan, just to name a few. But Ammon G. Carter Stadium, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, what makes stadium unique in your opinion in terms of the Horned Frogs program and how the fans have celebrated this season and just the history of that stadium for TCU football?
Well, they've made a lot of upgrades in the past couple of decades. You know, they renovated it most recently about 5 years ago. But it's a really great place to take in a game. You know, I think one cool thing about it is a lot of the other stadiums you mentioned probably have more capacity. Ammon G. Carter holds about 50K, And so, you know, even when that thing's full, it feels like you're a little closer to the action. The student section on the left side of the stadium is right there behind the visiting bench. And there's really not a bad seat in the house. I mean, even if you're up in the fourth deck, you can see pretty well. And you don't just feel like you're totally removed from what's going on the field. But, yeah, it's right there on campus, so it's really convenient to get to. And you can kind of walk anywhere and everywhere once you park and get to the stadium. And it's when the fans are there and the place is rocking, it's a fantastic atmosphere for a college football game.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Stephen Simcox. He's the host of the Locked On TCU podcast, giving you all of your news that you need to know about the TCU Horned Frogs football program. Thank you so much again, Stephen, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Just tell everybody what you do over at Locked On TCU and what's currently going on over there.
Yeah, so we have a YouTube channel. So if you search Locked On Horned Frogs, you can find us on YouTube. You can also get the show wherever you know, your favorite podcast platform, whatever that is. You can find it if you search Locked On Horned Frogs. And then my Twitter account's at Simcox Steven. So if you ever want to follow me and see what's going on with the show, you can find me there. And thanks so much for having me on the show, Ed. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I thank you again. So one more time, Steven, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any websites. Let them know that as well.
Sure. I'm at Simcox Steven on Twitter. And then the show is Locked On Horned Frogs. Best way to find us is probably on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search Locked On Horned Frogs, and you can find the channel and subscribe, and all the videos are there on a daily basis.
Awesome. You heard it from him. He is Stephen Simcox. He is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast. It's dedicated to all of your information related to the TCU Horned Frogs football program. Stephen, thank you so much again for appearing on the program. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
I appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Philly special, their version of it. Loveland broke a tackle, but he's in trouble. Colston Loveland, stop back at the 9-yard line. J.J. McCarthy.
Whoa.
Throws, and it's intercepted. Picked up and being brought back for a touchdown by Bud Clark. Quentin Johnson, the motion man. Here's Duggan. Touchdown, TCU. D. McConnell, the running back. He stays in to pick up a blitz. Duggan got hit. Still got it off. Kay Barber. Touchdown, Horned Frogs. D. McConnell. Touchdown, TCU. McCarthy incomplete and picked off. Intercepted by D. Winters. And a touchdown. And now Duggan. They try to help him in. Touchdown! Huge third down and 7 here. Michigan blitzes. Duggan dumps it off short. Quentin Johnson has the first down, and off he goes! They are not going to catch him! No flags! The magic continues for TCU!
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this edition of College Football Playoff Focus. Once again, a big special thank you to Stephen Simcox. Stephen is the host of the Locked On TCU podcast. The podcast covers content related to TCU football. Once again, a big special thank you to Stephen for appearing on the program. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to College Football Playoff Focus.